Matthew chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2 with me, and we'll read Matthew 3, 1 through 5. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan." And let's pray together. Father, thank you again for your word. Lord, please strengthen us tonight. Help us as your people. And Lord, there's so many people to witness to. Lord, you said the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So please equip us to be a witness. Strengthen us, please. We need your power. We need your help. And Lord, use this, please, in each person's life for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight we're going to look at baptism. And if you say, "I already know that, I already know about baptism," I hope you don't get tired of me asking you this. But if I said, "Take your Bible, would you please, and help me out, and go over here with this person that just got saved, and can you show them some verses on baptism and what it is and how important it is?" And if I asked you that, I would hope you would not freak out. I would hope you'd say, "Sure, I can do that." And I know a lot of people that would frustrate them. And I don't think it should. I think we should all be eager to be used in the life of a new convert. We should be eager. Look, I think all of our prayers should be, "Lord, please, before I die, help me lead someone to you so that when I'm in heaven, somebody's here witnessing." That's bearing fruit, right? All of us should be praying something along those lines. "Lord, help me lead someone to Christ. Lord, help me use me in the life of someone." That's God's plan. And so, as we look at baptism, I think if you understood, first of all, the definition of the word baptism, all right? I know how churches define it, but the word has always been defined one way. The word baptism means immerse and to completely cover. If you want to put one more word in there, it means submerge. It is never meant sprinkled. It is never meant poured. It means to completely cover and submerge and bury. And the first baptism, we're not going to look at it tonight, but the first baptism could be, we could go to Galatians, we could go to Romans chapter 6, but the first baptism is when you got saved. And it has nothing to do with the tank. You were baptized in Christ. When God saved you, he immersed you or buried or submerged you in Christ. And now you're in him and he's in you. That baptism, that submersion, is what is supposed to be pictured in the second baptism here in the tank. Aren't you glad we don't sprinkle? Aren't you glad? I'm so glad God didn't sprinkle me with Jesus. God didn't pour Jesus on me. God put me in Christ completely, and that's why I'm saved to the uttermost. So the first baptism is the reason for all the other baptisms. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, water baptism. But everything starts with one. Doesn't it say that in Ephesians 1? I know I'm trying to just lay a foundation here. So the first baptism is when you got saved. It's when you were immersed in Christ. Now, if we looked at Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist. The title Baptist, okay, I'm not trying to insult your intelligence tonight, but we know John was his first name, but the word "the" was not his middle name, and Baptist was not his last name, right? So The Baptist is the title God gave John. Baptist, the word Baptist is in your Bible 14 times. I would think if the word Episcopalian, the word Catholic is not in your Bible. The word Methodist is not in your Bible. I would think, and so many people are dropping the name Baptist because Baptists have a stigma of sticking to the Bible, and that rocks the boat, and Baptists are known for calling a dog and correcting things and saying, that's not in the Bible, so if you'll take Baptist off of your sign, it'll help you get a bigger crowd. And there's churches all over that have done that. They're in the process of doing that. Some of them should have already done it because they've never been Baptist. But there's some that used to be Baptist that are changing, and they're like, well, shouldn't, if God mentions something, if it's in the Bible, shouldn't you give more thought to it than just, well, let's just take it off the church sign? Wait a second, it's a title God gave us. You say, well, how important is this? Number one, John was the person Jesus was baptized by. Okay, when you look in this chapter, I know we're in the baptism chapter here, it says here, look at verse number, go ahead, look at verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Do you know how far Jesus walked from Galilee to Jordan? He walked 40 miles. He took a 40-mile journey to be baptized. I don't know if you know this or not. Can you keep your finger there real quick and I'll show you something? Go to Matthew 21, verse 25. You're in the book of Matthew. Go to Matthew 21, 25. They try to trick him, and Jesus asks them a question in Matthew 21. Watch this. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. What does that mean? Go back to Matthew chapter 3. Look at verse 14. Matthew 3, 14. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Here's what I'd like you to know about John's baptism. This is unique. Would you gather from verse 14 that John had not been baptized? John had never been baptized. But he was the one, Matthew 21, given the authority from heaven to baptize and begin gathering the material for the Lord Jesus. So now I'm going to ask you another question. Since Jesus went from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized of John, he knew what John was preaching. Obviously, he knew he was chosen of God. Could Jesus have chosen then anybody to baptize him who had never been baptized? I guess he could have. But he walked 40 miles to associate himself with John and what John was preaching. That's why we say when you get baptized, you identify with the church that you're baptized in. That's why if you're baptized in an independent Baptist church, you identify with what's preached. We've had some people come here, they were baptized Pentecostal, in a place that believes you can lose your salvation. They differ on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of the church. And when somebody says, I always ask people when they want to join the church, are you saved? And then where were you baptized? Were you baptized in a church that preaches good doctrine? If not, we've had some people, they were baptized in a Southern Baptist church that links itself to a convention and a type of church that we could get into it in Revelation that God says, I don't associate with that. Nicolaitan church. That's later on a Bible study, but here we go. If you were baptized in a church that was not preaching good doctrine, then yeah, I think you need to identify yourself with a Bible preaching church in baptism. Where in the world do you get that, Pastor? Jesus did. He walked from Galilee to Jordan to identify himself with John and what John was what was John preaching? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And he did that to identify with him. Yet John had never been baptized. I think that's, if John had never been baptized, but God gave him the title Baptist, I think that that's important. His authority came from heaven, and God said, I'm going to call you John the Dipper or Baptizer. So shouldn't the title Baptist mean something to us? Number one, I'm amazed at how many people just don't care about it, but it's in the Bible. It is a title that's in the Bible. And I'm not making mountains out of molehills, especially in this day and age. And if we're Baptist, then shouldn't John the Baptist be one of our heroes? You know, he was the first one to stand up to Herod and said, you've got your brother's wife and you're living in adultery. Well, it cost him his head. John only preached for 3 months from the start till he got his head cut off. And then that needs to be known too. The first hero in the Bible that God gives us in the New Testament died of beheading because he stood up for the Lord. So if we're expecting an easy road and a life of no suffering and no inconvenience, keep in mind those are not the heroes God gave us. So John the Baptist was never baptized, yet Jesus identified himself with him. Then look at verse 15, and I think verse 15 should be marked in your Bible. Watch this. This is the one I have used through the years, but watch this. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now. In other words, baptize me. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered or allowed him. So Jesus said, when you get baptized, it is a work of righteousness that is done on the outside. That's why it is something that takes place after salvation. We know Jesus didn't get baptized to get saved, right? So we know baptism doesn't save. Jesus didn't get baptized to wash away sin. So we know baptism doesn't wash away sin. Jesus got baptized to start his earthly ministry, and then he said, follow my example. Why do we get baptized? Number one, because Jesus did, and he told us to, right? We know it doesn't wash away sin, and we know it doesn't save, and I'll try to cover that here with you. Matthew 3:15 is a really important verse, and when it fulfills righteousness, that means baptism is an outward work, and it's the first thing that we do when we get saved. We get saved first, then we get baptized. So Matthew 3:15 helps us explain that. Look at one more thing while we're on John the Baptist. Go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, I read it with you at the start of the service, but I just want to point something out. Matthew chapter 11, look at verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. That means John the Baptist, up to this point, was greater than Moses. He was greater than Ezra, greater than King David, greater than Nehemiah. He's the greatest man in the Bible through the Old Testament up to this point, Jesus said. That right there should be something that draws our attention, and if I call myself a Baptist, then I really ought to take this. Tonight's not the Bible study, but I really ought to take time and look at John the Baptist. His parents were old, so that means they died when he was young. He was in the wilderness. He was by himself a lot. And boy, when he started preaching, nobody had heard preaching for 400 years. The last person they'd heard preach was Malachi. Then God said 400 years of silence. So when John the Baptist came out of the wilderness, can you imagine, clothed in leather, had a leather girdle, belt around him. He was a Nazirite. His hair at about age 30 would have been about 16 feet long. Well, they wouldn't have dragged it, but sometimes they would take their hair and wrap it around them. He was a Nazirite, right? He couldn't cut his hair. He's like Samson. So can you picture this man coming out of the wilderness? Behold, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now that all changes in Matthew 12, because they have to reject Jesus. All right, but before they reject Jesus, what did they preach? Kingdom of heaven is at hand. Behold the Lamb of God. Then they have to reject Jesus. Then it changes, right? When we go soul winning, I don't say anything similar to the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We don't say anything like that. But before they rejected Jesus, they did. John the Baptist should be, when I study John the Baptist, my heart is thrilled. He stood alone. He seemed to me to be somebody that didn't care what anybody thought. Got your hair wrapped around you and you live in a cave outside the city. I'm doing what God wants me. He ate locusts and wild honey. No, the Jews didn't do that. That was not common. Hey, there's a grasshopper. Dip him in honey. That's delicious. The Jews did not do that. John did because he lived in the desert. He looks to me like he was a rugged man, and he was a man who preached because of what God told him. I think all I'm drawing your attention to, I think John the Baptist is really overlooked a lot. But he's the first person Jesus points us to, and he's the first person Jesus went to. Let me show you one more thing about John, and then we'll go. Go to Luke, chapter 7. Go to Luke chapter 7. Let me just point something out. As great as John was, Luke chapter 7, look at verse number 19. And John, Luke 7, 19, and John calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? I think that's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. He who for 3 months preached, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, is now, he's in prison, and he sends two of his disciples and says, Go ask Jesus if he's the Messiah. You know what verse 19 tells me? John's depressed. He had to face the fact that in 3 months, he was only going to preach 3 months. It said John did no miracle. All he did was preach. By the way, isn't that our model then? I'm not looking to do miracles and perform the exciting. The greatest thing we do is go soul winning and point people to the Savior. It's what we as Baptists are supposed to do. John set the pattern. But here he is. He's preached for 3 months. He's in jail. And I'm sure he's thinking, well, Jesus is my cousin. He's going to deliver me out of here. Any moment now, I'm going to hear his footprints coming down the... They're going to let me go. And the only footsteps he heard was the executioner who was coming to cut his head off. And I'm sure as that starts to sink in, he calls his two disciples. Most of the disciples, you realize, were gotten by John, and then they went to Jesus after they'd been with John. Only a few Jesus went and got, Matthew, and you could do the research on that. Reason I'm telling you that is two of his disciples are at the jail bars, and I'm sure he said, I want you to go ask Jesus if he's the one that's coming, or do we need to look for another? You know what John had to face? I'm going to die. Jesus is not going to deliver me in a miraculous way. And John got depressed. You know what Jesus said? If you read the rest of the chapter, Jesus said, you go tell John, the dead, you know, are raised, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk. Yeah, I'm he. But no, I'm not coming and getting him. He's going to get his head cut off. That teaches me something. Every Christian needs to learn as we come to grips with truth in the Bible. We all need to learn to properly deal with depression. Christians don't get depressed. John the Baptist got depressed. And he lost faith in the one he was preaching. And I like Jesus' compassion as you read Luke 7. Now, I'm drawing your attention to that because I'm laying a foundation. Everything starts with John the Baptist. That's the title God gives him. John the Baptist should be one of our heroes. We should emulate him, look at him. He's the greatest in the Bible up to this point. Now, with that being said, with John the Baptist, let's look at the word baptism. Take your Bible and go to Acts 10:48. Acts 10:48. I think you should have four words that are tied with baptism. All right? Four words that'll help you. If you want a bigger Bible study on this, I have plenty of material on our website. I have plenty of material on the discipleship classes. I'm giving you just breaking the ice, something you could put in your New Testament, something you could put in your big Bible. But here we go. Acts 10:48. It says here, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. I would write this one word down. It's a command. How come you get baptized? Well, yeah, Jesus did, Matthew 3, and it's a command. We're told to. In other words, I hope you would. If I said, you know, I got saved 37 years ago, and I just haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism yet, but I'd like to pastor this church. I hope you would go, mm-mm. That's weird, right? No, if you've been saved 30 years, 15 years, 10 years, 1 year, you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Because it's a command. He commanded them to be baptized. We could go to Matthew 28. We could do that. But as far as one word, why should somebody get baptized after they're saved? Number one, because it's a command in the Bible. We're told to. Number two, write this word down. After. It's to be after we get saved. After we get saved, and put Acts 2:38. Acts 2:38. And then go there. Acts, write the word after, and then go to Acts 2:38. Now, everybody uses, anytime you pull doctrine out of the book of Acts, most start on false doctrine. It's a book of transition. You need to be careful what you pull out of the book of Acts. If you want a nice outline for the book of Acts, just stick with the two P's. They're either preaching or being persecuted, every chapter. And we're supposed to pull soul winning and church planting from the book of Acts, not raising the dead or working miracles or any of that stuff. So you got Acts 2:38. It's to be done after. Watch this. Here we go. Start at verse 37. Now, when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Do. When they heard this. What's this? Look at verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's where God tells them how to get saved. You call on the name of the Lord. So when they heard verse 21, when they heard this, they said, okay, now what do we do? Now that you've told us how to get saved, keep in mind these are Jews that he's preaching to, okay, you've told us about salvation. Now what do we do? That's where verse 38 comes into play. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And the key word here is, you should have it underlined or marked, is the word for. All right? For the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. Now, if you read that casually, it looks like you're baptized for your sins to be forgiven. But the word for, F-O-R, has 18 definitions, 18 in the Webster's Dictionary. If you use the wrong one, it'll contradict the rest of the Bible. We know there's no contradictions. So if you, in my New Testament, I have F-O-R, and I have because of, not unto. You should be baptized because of the remission of sins, not unto or to get your sins remitted. All right? So the word for there. Look, everybody ought to know how to explain that. If you explain that verse right, that's a great verse to show somebody why you need to get baptized after you get saved. You need to get baptized because you've had your sins forgiven. It's the next thing you're supposed to do. If you define it, you say, preacher, are you sure? Well, verse 21 showed us how to get saved, right? Peter's preaching. Then they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? All right. So it follows salvation, and then you get baptized afterwards. Look at verse 41. Look at verse 41. Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. All through the Bible, you get saved and then you get baptized. Nobody ever got baptized and then saved. And that's why in a Catholic area, we deal with it all the time. Well, I was baptized as a baby. I know that, but you weren't saved as a baby because you didn't know Jesus. That's why they put godparents there, right? So that as the kid gets older, they can say, yes, we were there when you eternally became the Lord's. That's the purpose of God, parents. That's why we don't have anything to do with that. It's garbage. That was instituted back in the 4th century by the Catholic Church. But babies don't get baptized. It's the most searched for thing in your Bible. There's been hundreds of thousands of hours looking for one question all their life. Where's babies? If you really want to get technical, adults only were baptized in the New Testament. We baptize children when we know they understand salvation and we know they understand baptism doesn't save them. All right? But if you want to lay it down, for about 300 to 400 years, children were never baptized in the New Testament. That eventually grew to where do you understand, you know what I mean, as the parents taught the Bible. But only adults are baptized in your Bible. So here it says, they that received his word, they got saved. Then they were baptized. So you have the word after, Acts 2:38. And if you wanted to put and 41, I think that's important there. Here we go. Two more words. Ready? Put down the word immersion. Immersion. It's two M's if you need to know. All right. Baptism is done. It's a command. It's done after salvation, and it's immersion. It's done by immersion. And then here's the verse that you can put down. Acts chapter 3, verse 16. And I'm going to give you another one. Acts 8, 38 to 39. When I saw these as a young Christian, my heart thrilled. Because I was always taught, you know, baptism just differs with each church, and that's just the way they do it, and that's the way they do it. But when I saw this in the Bible, I was like, glory to God. This is awesome. Now I know why we do what we do. All right. So, it was so hot. You know, the Methodists, the Methodist sprinkle, the Baptists immerse, but it was so hot. You know, in Kansas, they would say it was so hot and the drought was so bad that the Baptists were sprinkling and the Methodists were using a wet rag. So, okay, here we go. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Ready? Preacher, could you please not tell those type of jokes in church? Please only tell funny jokes. Okay. Watch this. Matthew 3:16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, watch, went up straightway out of the water. How can you go out of the water if you weren't in, right? So they were in the water. Baptism is done by immersion. And okay, now that's Matthew 3:16. Go to Acts 8:35. And watch this. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? How come I can't get baptized? Look at verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water. All right. Both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him, and when they were come up out of the water. Nobody was sprinkled there, and nobody was poured. They went down into the water together, and then they came up out of the water. Baptism is by immersion. The word baptized means to immerse, completely cover, submerge, and bury, and then the Bible teaches that. It is not just the Baptist way. All right? Isn't that wonderful? Three things. Fourth word. Ready? Write down the word immediately. Immediately. It's to be done immediately. It's a command. It's to be done after salvation. It is to be done by immersion, and it is to be done immediately. And then the verse you want to write down, go ahead and write down Acts 2:41 and Acts 16:33. Acts 2:41, you already wrote that down and after, but it's a good verse, and I'll quote it to you, but we'll go to Acts 16, verse 33. Go to Acts 16, verse 33. Acts 16, look at verse 33. You know, it says in Acts chapter 8, when that church in Jerusalem was disobedient for seven chapters, and it grew to 2,000, and 3,000 and 5,000, and many think 10,000 and 12,000. When you hit Acts chapter 8, it says when the church was persecuted, that church went everywhere preaching the word. They were taught something. And it wasn't until Acts chapter 8 that they decided to obey God and go soul winning and go do what they were told to do. But it took persecution and a hammer to get them to do what was right. I can't help but think, are we taught in our church enough to where if we were scattered, could each neighborhood where you're at have someone, a household representing the Lord that people could come to as a refuge and say, could you show me how to be saved? I'm scared. I've never seen anything like this. Could you help me? Could you teach them the Bible? Amen. Acts chapter 8's in place. They went everywhere preaching the word. Acts 16:33. Ready? Watch this. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized. Now, in verse 30, he asked the question, sirs, what must I do to be saved? In verse 31, they tell him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And verse 33 says, and he took them the same hour and was baptized. Within an hour of being saved. I have no problem if you need somebody to help you, show you. I don't want you confused when you get baptized, but it shouldn't take 6 months for you to get baptized after you get saved. You need to get baptized. In the Bible, they did it, and as many as received his word, and they that received his word were baptized the same day, Acts 2:41. So in the Bible, they did it soon. These churches that say, well, if you come to our church and you get saved, then we're going to put you in a discipleship class. We'll teach you the Bible for 6 months and we'll see if you really meant it. And then if you did, then we'll baptize you. I think that's garbage. And we don't do that here at our church. If somebody wants to join our church and they've been saved, but they've not been baptized, I'll meet with them. I'll teach them. I'll help them. And then I say, I cover the verses that I'm covering with you. You need to get baptized soon. I dealt with somebody 3 years ago. I said, when were you saved? I said, well, about 23 years ago and stuff. I said, it's long enough. Well, I don't know about, I said, look, invite your family, do what you got to do. I said, but for you to grow spiritually, you need to get baptized now. We even had one person that he got saved on the internet, came to our church, and it was Saturday. It was a Saturday. And I said, have you followed the Lord in believer's baptism? And he said, well, no. He said, but I'd like to. I said, did you know it doesn't save? I said, we do it to identify with Jesus and the church. He goes, yeah, I know it doesn't save. And he said, can I get baptized today? And I said, the water's cold. He goes, I don't care. This was 5 years ago. I said, okay. So I said, well, the purpose of getting baptized in church is witnessing, right? In other words, the church members that are saved and baptized witness somebody getting baptized. So before we closed soul winning that day, there were a few people. I said, hey, I mentioned his, well, it was Greg Skelsius. Remember we did his funeral? He was the one. So we called a few people in here and he went back here and changed and I baptized him on a Saturday. It wasn't church. I said, well, that's never been asked before, but why not? Yeah, you ought to get baptized the same hour. If you want to get technical, in Acts 16, a church has started there, but they're not really meeting yet. Paul and Silas just got beat. Their backs are bloody. They led the jailer to Christ. He washed their stripes, and then they took him and baptized him. And then that church was started. So if you want to get technical, I like that. Acts 16:31, you need to get baptized as soon as possible. And if it's been a couple of years since you've been saved, you're either dinking around at the wrong church or you're playing with obedience and you can't grow. Amen? So four words with the word dealing with baptism, some scripture there. And now I wanted to show you just a few places. Go to Mark 16. Mark 16. Now, because you have a pastor that was in Tennessee, in Church of Christ territory, the Church of Christ Bible College that they trained their garbage at was right below Nashville. We were right in the territory of Church of Christ. You say, what's Church of Christ? Church of Christ adamantly believe unless you were baptized in a Church of Christ by a Church of Christ preacher, you will die and go to hell. They don't preach salvation. It is just literally, you have to get baptized or you're going to go to hell. Well, you deal with people like that. So Matthew 16:15, I think everybody should know how to explain. I think it's an important verse, but we dealt with it all the time. Let me give you the explanation. Mark 16:15, you're there, I'm not, okay? Watch this, here we go. And he, Jesus, said unto them, the disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, at first glance, with no study and no explanation, you would think, okay, so if you want to be saved, you have to believe and be baptized. So if you don't get baptized, you can't be saved. Now, they're just reading that verse and they're just thinking through it. That is not in the verse. What does the last part of the verse say? What is it that damns your soul? He that believeth not shall be damned. No, you don't have to get baptized to be saved. If you don't believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will be damned to hell forever. That last part of that verse is what one of my friends that was soul winning was. I was a young soul winner and I watched him, and the person he was witnessing to, he said, you need to trust Christ. He said, but I've been baptized. He said, he that believeth not shall be damned. Yeah, but I go to church. And my friend said, he that believeth not shall be damned. Yeah, but I work and do good works. And he said, he that believeth not shall be damned. You have to get saved or you're going to be damned. That last part of the verse he just quoted over and over again to everything that person was saying. Pretty simple, right? How do you explain the first part of the verse? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I explain it this way, okay? And I hope if you need help with it, you remember this. He that getteth on the bus and gets his seat is going to Washington, D.C. But he that getteth not on the bus is not going to D.C. So you could liken salvation is getting on the bus. Getting baptized, get you a seat. Okay, unless you want to stay at it. Okay, don't take it that far. But if you want to explain the verse, that's a good way to explain it. That's from Curtis Hudson. I like that illustration. I've used it through the years. Nobody should be able to turn in your Bible and say, ha, see right there? I've had it done plenty of times. It says right there, you got to get baptized or you're going to hell. I said, no, it doesn't. And they've taken me through their five verses. Let's look at a few more verses that look like it teaches baptism saves. I know it doesn't. And I tell people all this all the time. You've heard me if you've been soul winning me. I'm a Baptist preacher. I'm for baptism. But I've never told anybody you got to get baptized or you're going to go to hell. Amen. No, you need to get baptized, follow the Lord, and grow spiritually. Here we go. We looked at Matthew 16:15. How about go to, there was one section I wanted to, okay, go to 1 Corinthians 1. Go to 1 Corinthians 1. You say, preacher, are you sure? I'm not going to hold you forever tonight, but I wanted to just introduce you to some things. How do you know, man, when you get to talking to them Church of Christ people, man, they're a bunch of heathen. I mean, they get to screaming and yelling. I've been in two Church of Christ pastors' houses. They said, you come over and I'm going to show you the Bible. I said, okay. I was at one Church of Christ pastor's house for 2.5 hours. Man, he set me at the kitchen table. I had my Bible. He was ranting back and forth. I'm telling you. And man, I never raised my voice. He was, I'm telling you, you Baptist, you ain't getting, man, he was adamant. I said, I'm telling you, what you're saying is not in there. He said, yes, it is. I said, we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, ready? Watch verse 17. Here we go. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I said, the greatest person in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, wasn't sent to baptize, and you're telling me baptism is what saves? You got a screw loose. You're nuts. If salvation came by baptism, then Paul would have baptized. And he said, God did not send me to do that. I've been sent to preach the gospel. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It is believing the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection that gets you saved, not baptism. You know, would you like to know how both, one was 2.5 hours, one was 3. Both of them ended this way. After we went through the scriptures, and we went through a lot more than I'll cover with you tonight. But both of them ended up saying, I remember one, he just said, well then fine, I'm just going to die and go to hell. He couldn't answer any of the verses that I told him. I said, you'd be loyal to your church and what it teaches instead of the Bible? I said, that's why you'll go to hell. Because you won't humble yourself and say you were wrong. Both of them said that. I remember going, I shut my Bible. I was like, I came here to show you how to get saved. Well, I'll just die and go to hell then. I was like, man, you people, help us. You're nasty. I didn't have any other word for it. You don't care what the Bible says. You care more about, at any rate, 1 Corinthians 1:17, I found very helpful. Now, take your Bible and go to 1 Peter. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And we'll close with this tonight. We'll end with this. But if anybody is able to take your Bible and frustrate you, God says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You know, every once in a while, it would help you if you got ashamed. It would help you if somebody ate your stinking lunch every once in a while. It took me, we went out and witnessed to a Jehovah's Witness on Friday night. We were there 3.5 hours, but the first Jehovah's Witness I witnessed to, he ate my lunch. He asked me all types of questions I couldn't answer. You know what it caused me to do? Go home and study my Bible. Right? So I studied. And I studied. And eventually worked my way up. You need to talk to a Mormon every once in a while. And let them eat your lunch. And teach you. Answer their questions with the Bible. And if you can't, go study. To give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that lies within you. And if anybody makes you go, well, good. Then don't quit coming to church. Don't get discouraged about it. Go home and study your Bible. We've all been there, right? But study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. It's good to be ashamed every once in a while. To be reminded you ain't all that in a bag of chips. Amen? You say, how come you went out with Brother Butler on Friday night? Because I had some wonderful teachers. I had some wonderful people invest in me. I wish you could have seen Brother Byron. I wish you could have seen a Pop Woolston. Big, tall, 6'4" man, walk up to a Marine. He was in his 80s. They witnessed until they went to heaven. And boy, anybody, I don't know how Brother Pop Woolston could talk to anybody and they not get saved. He'd always come up, hey buddy, how are you doing? Talk to him in the nicest voice. Do you know if you're going to die today, you'd go to heaven? Come over here and let me show you the Bible, buddy. I mean, everybody was Pop Woolston's buddy. You watch somebody that loving and that tender go through the gospel. Now, buddy, God doesn't want you to go to hell. God wants you to be saved. And he'd sit down, man, to hear that, I had some good teachers. I had some people, that were sold out soul winners. And to watch them, sometimes it'd bring tears to my eyes. My wife had some good teachers. Good soul winning teachers. All I'm saying is, if nobody should take your Bible and open it up to 1 Peter chapter 3, like we're getting ready to say, and say, see, baptism saves. I'd like you as a Christian to be able to say, no, I know what that says. Ready? Look at verse number 20. Ready? Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, here we go, eight souls were saved by water. Okay, did the water save Noah or did the ark? You need to know that. The ark saved Noah and his family from the water that drowned everybody else. So water doesn't save, water kills. Baptism is not a picture of life. Romans chapter 6 says when you get in the tank, you're picturing the death of Christ. You're not picturing salvation. So Noah was not, okay, and you say, how can you correct the Bible? I'm not correcting the Bible. Remember I told you the word four has 18 definitions? That requires study. If there's something there that saved by water, well, then you might need to look into it some more. Right? So eight souls were saved from the water because of the ark. They got in Christ, which was a picture. Look at verse 21. Ready? And the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. And they stop right there and they say, see, baptism is what saves you. But they don't read the rest of the verse. Notice the parentheses. Ready? It says, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Okay, the first thing that's in the parentheses is that baptism cannot put away your sin or your filth. Baptism cannot wash away sin. If that was the case, can you imagine somebody getting baptized and then the next person coming in going, nah, I ain't getting in that. Look at all those sins floating around in there. I'm just being goofy right now, but I'm trying to get you. No, there is. It does not wash away sin. All right? It is not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but why do you get baptized? Because it's the answer of a good conscience toward God. It's the next step that you do. Here we go. Let's finish the verse. Watch this. It says, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Here's what I'd like you to remember from tonight. I told you, use English when you read your Bible. It's the only book in the world that's perfect English. It's perfect grammar. So what's the laws of parentheses? The law of the parentheses is this. If it's in a parentheses, if you wrote the sentence right, you should be able to take out what's in parentheses and read the sentence, and it should make total sense. It should be a complete sentence. Let's read verse 21 without the parentheses. You ready? The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Ah, so what saves? Baptism or the resurrection of Jesus Christ? The resurrection. No, baptism does not save us. No, you didn't read the whole verse. You read part of the verse, which is what all cults do. And then they say, see, that says you got to get baptized. I said, no, it doesn't. The resurrection is what saves. And because you're trusting your baptism, you're going to die and go to hell. And I said, it does not have to be that way. No, baptism cannot save. There's a few verses in the Bible that you need to be able to go to and that might appear like baptism saves, but it doesn't contradict anything. Let's close with, let's go to one of those simple verses. Go to Acts 13:39. Let's look at one of, I can take you to many, but let's just kind of close with these two verses here. Acts chapter 13, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Look at verse chapter 13. Beautiful verse on salvation. Acts 13:39, and by him all that believe are justified or saved from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. If you'll just believe on Christ, you'll be saved from all of your sins. No, how do you know baptism doesn't save? Because God didn't put one verse in the book of Acts that looks like baptism saves to contradict a simple verse like verse 39. Verse 39 is wonderfully simple. You want to see one more? Go to Acts chapter 10. I'll stop here, I promise. This will be the last verse, okay? If it's not marked in your Bible, it ought to be, all right? Acts 10:43. What a beautiful thing to think about. To him, to Jesus, give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. That tells me from Genesis all the way to Malachi, it says all the prophets say, that much of the Bible says, if you'll just believe on Jesus Christ, you can have all of your sins forgiven. No, baptism does not save. I think the Bible is very wonderfully plain. I hope this is a help to you tonight to be able to do what? Help someone else understand. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Lord, please, to have a working knowledge of your Bible. Lord, so we can help.